part of the earth. We should together, in obedience to Christ, go into all the world and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We should be sharing the gospel according to Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the penalty for sin, the wages for sin, is death. John tells us what message that we are to be sharing as our mission. In John 3:15-17, he says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, shall be lifted up, so that whosoever believe in him should have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I have no doubt about your mission, our mission, but I only have doubt whether or not our mission is possible. Going to all the world, telling people that they are sinners, lead them to believe that the only hope to eternal life is Jesus Christ? In this world, this day and age, this seems to be mission impossible. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, 18th century French philosopher, wrote in his book Contrat Social, Social Contract, that man was born good, but society corrupts him and makes him miserable. Sounds good to the world and the enemy of God. That's why our mission may appear to be impossible. But friends, I am used to unrealistic, impossible mission. I live in Haiti. Right now, people, because they want a president to step down, they manage to block every single major road leading to every single major city. In Pinu, everything is fine. I could not have driven from Pinu, my village, to Port-au-Prince to take a big airplane. But there is a missionary flight international that fly out of Fort Pierce to our village and land 5 minutes from my house when all the cities are being turned upside down. Right there, everything is fine. For example, the children who go to school in Pinon, they have not missed even one day of school. But my children who go to a boarding school in the city, I go get them every Friday. I go get them every Friday afternoon, take them back every Sunday evening. 2 months ago, I went to get them, and I have not been able to get them back because all roads leading to major cities are back. And God has called me to share the gospel in Haiti. You can't even get to places that are so close to you just to share that gospel. And so when we think about what's going on, people blocking road with trash from their home, 7 feet, 4 feet, 3 feet, rocks all over, burning tires everywhere, I was tempted to even show some pictures. But when you see the other beautiful things going on, nice beaches, Pinon going just fine, it's like you kind of doubting the impact. But what really strikes me is that when you think about all this, you know, how can poor people possibly live? It is so sad. It is so hard. They need to receive the hope, the message of hope of eternal life. Then when we talk about how do poor people live, you wonder how in the world rich people die, because everything is at our disposal. And the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has set eternity in the human heart. In every human soul is a God-given awareness that there is something more than this world. And with that awareness of eternity comes a hope that we can one day find a fulfillment not afforded by vanity of this world. Paul says, if our hope is in this world only, we're the most miserable of this planet. However, in this day and age, people are trying every possible way to live forever except what we are as our mission, offering them. That's why I doubt that our mission is even possible. As I prepare for this message, several years ago, I came across a word, cryonics. Basically, it's an effort to save life based on modern science by using temperatures so cold that a person beyond help by 2 days, medicine can be preserved for decades or centuries until a future medical technology can restore that person to full health. Cryonics is justified by three facts that are well known. First of all, life can be stopped and restarted if its basic structure is preserved. Vitrification, not freezing, can preserve biological structure very well. And method for repairing structure at the molecular level can now be foreseen. Over the years since 1960, I read 300 people have used cryonics. They have asked after they die because they desire to live forever, to have eternal life, that their body would be preserved, so that when science finally find a way to keep people alive, no matter what, their money can be frozen at banks and they can still be available to them 1 year, century, thousand of year from now. Long, long time. You can imagine that people are not looking for the message of how they can live eternally, that we, as our mission, are trying to bring them. But as people all over trying to find other ways to live eternally, there was a man in Mark 10, verse 17 to 27, that was inspired to live eternally. But he went to the right source. He went to Jesus, asking Jesus, "Good Master, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" As the story got unfolded, we noticed that the guy
he did
and he was trying to do what he thought he had to do to live forever. But Jesus had to explain him. And even the disciples, they did not get it, even though they were with Jesus. Jesus had to explain him. And as we look at the story, we understand that our mission to bring the message of hope that can keep people alive eternally is not going to be accomplished because of me, because of you, but because God is able. God is able to make us say with all our strength that definitely mission is possible. But we're asking the question, what is God is able to do so that we can say without doubt, mission possible? I believe according to the passage, one thing that he is able to do to help us accomplish our mission is that he himself can draw people to him. We read Mark 10:17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knee before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I want you to just think about this. A man who had great wealth, very rich, running to Jesus, falling on his knees before him. This is inconceivable for him to do that. He had to be drawn to Christ by God. In fact, we know of this famous verse, John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. This verse points out God's sovereignty that brings people to Christ. And from the context, they evidently believe only in Jesus for eternal life. Philippians 4:12-13 talks about us working out our salvation with fear and trembling. But it says in verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. Ephesians 2:8-10 tells us that we save by grace through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It is from God. Not by works. You can't do anything to have eternal life. Because God made us as his handiwork. He created us in Christ Jesus to do good work, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So what I'm seeing right here is not just salvation, but God save us, draw us to Christ, give us eternal life, but he also purposed for us to get into the business of bringing that message of hope of eternal life to people. Because he gave us that job. I believe that God he speaks to us through his word. But he also reveals his word His will to us through the witness of the Holy Spirit in us. You can imagine I was here in Chicago studying, and I graduated. I was thankful enough that the school, Trinity, allowed me to complete my studies while I was owing them some money. At the end of my studies, I owed them $13,000. So when I walked in graduation, I knew that they were going to hand me a piece of paper saying, "We're sorry, we cannot give you your diploma." And I made arrangement to work 4 jobs to pay the bill and run back to Haiti because I knew that's where God wanted me to work. So after I got my first paycheck, I was driving from the Haitian church that I had a part-time job from Evanston, and then I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me, telling me, "Jephthah, are you sure you will be able to save $13,000 in a year? What are you going to do with the mission that I've given you?" So immediately, I started thinking. And as the Spirit was leading me, I just called people and tell them, "Well, I have to leave. I thought I was going to spend a year here. Before I go to Haiti, I have to leave." Sure enough, 3 days later, my school called me. I say, "Praise God, because I make the decision to follow Christ's will and to go back to Haiti. Now the school called me. They're going to make a good news. They say, 'What are you going to do to pay your bill?'" This is irresponsible. And I told them, "Well, you know, if you had called me 2 days ago, I would have told you what plan I had. But now I have to tell you that God has a plan." And sure enough, as I packed my bag to go to Haiti, the day before I left, a friend of mine called me and told me, "Listen, the school is going to call you. The Lord has led me to pay your bill." But I'm telling you, I could have been here right now. I could have been here trying to move to a different direction. But the Lord led me to just respond to His calling. And I'm telling you, sure enough, in 1 month, 350 people were added to the church. I praise God for that. Sometimes He calls us, we don't even understand. We are seeking the way to live forever with Him. We don't even understand. But what I feel that He's able to do in this passage, it is not just to draw us to Him, but also He's able to help us understand how He works. God is able to help us understand how He works. When the guy came to Christ and he said, "Master, good teacher." Jesus said, why do you call me good? Jesus, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandment. And he lists them. But Jesus told him the commandment, and he said, "I have kept all those all my life." Because he thought that going to heaven, you have to follow a set of rules. But Jesus said, "You lack something. Go sell your possession and give them to the poor, then follow me." You see that? I understand that definitely this guy had a lot of wealth. But what Jesus is probably talking about is not just, you know, wealth in itself, but things that hold us from not responding to his calling of being 100% committed, fully devoted, completely sold out to the cause of the gospel of hope of eternal life. Jesus told the disciples, it is so difficult for people who are rich, who have things that they hold on to. For example, me, what was wealth for me is life in the United States. I was thinking, how am I going to leave that opportunity? And even to this day, I have close friends, family members who are blaming me for not making sure that I secure some kind of residency green card before I go there. But I'm telling you, God had to help me understand how he works. He works in mysterious ways. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, that consider your calling, brethren. Not many of you were wise by human standard when you were called. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. The word of God tells us that when the guy told Jesus or showed Jesus that he didn't understand how to inherit eternal life, Jesus just looked at him and loved him. You see why a lot of us cannot fulfill our mission? Mission seems to be impossible for us, because it must be something about big and small ears. Because we are so judgmental. I've heard people saying that there are no people more judgmental, thank you very much, than Christians. When we see that people don't understand what we believe, we act as if we don't love them. And we forget that to be qualified to be bearer of that message of hope, of life eternal, Jesus said that I need to see love in you. People will know that you are my disciples when you love each other. And you can understand that Jesus loved the guy who did not understand, and he took his time to explain him, because that was part of the mission, to disciple, to train. We put a heavy weight, great importance to education in the ministry, just because we know how important it is. This is through God and education that people can be contemporary of every man and citizen of every place. We are offering the opportunity. I know Nick Allen will be in the back offering you opportunity to support kids that we're struggling with to pay for school. They can't come to school, and we don't want to send them away. And we got to the point where we can't even pay our teacher, and we stop having the kind of testimony we used to have, because as employer, we struggle because of the economy of the country to pay our teachers. So we believe that if we have a number of kids sponsored, the Lord can use that to help us be a greater witness. But time to explain the gospel to people is so crucial that you and I, we need to understand that since Jesus did it, we need to do it. Take time to train. Take time to nurture a new believer. Take time to understand that every person on this earth should be evangelized. And every person evangelized should be trained as a disciple. Every trained disciple should be a disciple maker. And every disciple maker's house should be a small church. One of our nicest church in Haiti is the church in La Victoire. From 1996 to now, we move from having one church to 121 churches. Simple principle of evangelizing, nurturing new believer, training leader, and establish the church. We decided on a Sunday afternoon to go and share the gospel where there was a cockfight. As some people were listening, the leader of that cockfight place, he just show up and say, "What's going on? What's going on?" They say, we trying to share the gospel to those people. And I took the time to explain the gospel to him. And sure enough, Brother Philistine, who was the leader, he got saved. We established a church in his house. Later, we purchased the place where they used to have a cockfight and we established a church. We built a church there. Right now, we have the nicest church in the ministry in La Victoire where they used to have cockfight. And the leader of that cockfight place is the pastor of the church. Isn't God good? Jesus took the time to explain. And I'm telling you that the mission is possible not because we are able, but because God is able to help us understand how he works. But not only that, I believe that mission is possible because God is able to do what seemed to be impossible to men. I must confess that it is so difficult for me to share prayer requests and needs here. It's just because we have so many needs. And every day in our life, we find how impossible it is for us to continue on. But every day, we see God doing miracles, showing us that he can do for us what seemed to be impossible. One of the impossible things that God has done is just you. You being part of the ministry, you joining in with us to do what we cannot do. I feel sometimes that just because I can call Pastor Paul, I can call Nick, I can come here and just share our struggle with you, you become a living proof to me that whenever God gives a vision, he also makes a provision. And you know the provision is you. And I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, to remember that God is using you as an instrument of encouragement. God is using you. And so I can tell you that our mission is possible, not because you and I are able, but it's rather because God is able. He is able to draw us to him. He is able to help us understand how he works. He is able to do what seems to be impossible to men. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond what we ask or even think of. He has created, saved, called, and brought us all together for the very specific purpose of sharing the message of hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Today, I believe that he is calling us, he is calling each one of you right here to a brand new dimension of dedication to our mission. Sometimes it is so difficult to move to that new dimension of dedication because it can be life-threatening. But just think about this. Last year, you helped me get a monster truck. I just love it. It is always Nick's and Becky's, Alan's desire, as well as the desire of all of you from this church who have gone to Haiti to buy me a monster truck. The road in Haiti, that's what I need. Then I started realizing after I got the truck to Haiti that these roads are destroying my truck. I call Nick and I say, I just want to keep my truck in front of my house. But Nick say, no, we just need to create a fund to constantly get new parts. Because after all, the truck was made to drive on those roads. It is like any one of you here getting a new car for the purpose of getting to where you want. But you can have an accident the first time you drive it. And you don't want to risk your car. But if you don't want to risk the car, the best place for you to put it is in your garage. That way, no accident, no scratching. But that's when you would think that the car is safe. But guess what? The car was not made to stay in the garage. It was made to drive. And that's what I'm saying is that this is the purpose for which God created us. He didn't create us to just sit here and enjoy a song in the church. He didn't create us so that we can stop going to places that we think are unsafe. He created us to go around the world where people say that are unsafe and share the gospel message that Jesus came down from heaven, live a perfect life, died on the cross for our sin. He was buried and resurrected on the third day. Now he is in heaven offering salvation and forgiveness to every sinner who repents and believes. I know that you say you cannot. I agree. But that's you, through you. But I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that you say you have need. I agree. But that's you yourself trying. But I believe that God can provide to all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I know that you worry. I agree. But the word of God says, do not be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I know that you have fears. I agree. But God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of strength, of love, and wisdom. I know that you say that people are already condemned, but I can tell you that our job is to share the gospel, entrust those people into the hand of Christ, because we know, according to Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Mission is possible, not because of us, but because God is able. Not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord. May God bless you. Thank you very much.
Pastor Jeff Lay, thank you very much for those stirring words, convicting words, excellent message, ties in great with our theme, Mission Possible. Again, using God's word, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Our mission is possible because God is able to do far exceedingly above all that we could ask or think. So again, thank you for that message. Also, we encourage you to talk with Pastor Jeff Lay. Nick is in the back.